Well, amen. Thank you, kids. We appreciate you singing tonight. Thank the Lord for young people that are serving the Lord. Yes, indeed. That's a blessing. Good to hear you sing tonight. Good job. I want you to open your Bible tonight, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians, chapter 5, for the message tonight. I appreciate Pastor Allen singing that choir song tonight. I was preaching down in West Virginia when the choir did that number. And I heard it the first time when they did it in the morning without the orchestra. And I was so excited, and then found out that they sung it the night that I was down in West Virginia. And so I said, well, if you get a half chance, you ought to sing that song again. And so I'm glad they did that tonight. That was a blessing as well. My goodness, if that doesn't stir your heart, you ought to go over to the emergency room and get your vitals checked. There's something wrong with you. Oh, that was something else. Thank the Lord for it. All right, I want to read just a couple of verses to you tonight. Well, just one verse. Look at verse 14. I've preached from this passage of Scripture, I think, twice through the years. At least I know I have two sermons on it. But this is not the same thing, so you don't have to worry. No sleeping when I preach on the subject of being awake. All right, look at verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. I want to speak to you tonight, a message that I've entitled, It's Time to Wake Up. Let's pray together. Our Father, we just thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, I thank you for the music we've heard tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the testimonies that we've heard tonight. Thank you for the offering that we heard tonight. And Lord, if we all just packed up and went home right now, we could say we've been to church. For Lord, you certainly have spoken to our hearts through the music tonight. But now, Lord, before we go, we need to take a look at this verse of Scripture tonight. So I pray that you will bless us in a mighty way. Lord, I pray that we will take the encouragement and the admonition that is found in this verse and apply it to our hearts, and then, Lord, apply it to our church. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to realize that we're living in a day when Christians need to be awake and we need to be alert. And Lord, give us, I pray, the spiritual eyes and spiritual ears to see what's going on around us. And Lord, to realize the day is far spent. And Lord, that we would get busy serving you. And Lord, I pray that you will fill me tonight with your Spirit and help me and enable me as I speak. And Lord, empower me with your Holy Spirit. But Lord, I also want to pray that the Spirit of God will move in our hearts tonight. And Lord, you'll give ears to hear to every person. And Lord, especially tonight, if there be one in this building that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ in the pardon and forgiveness of sin, may they come to the Savior tonight. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you for what's accomplished. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. I have chosen this text tonight, and this is one of those all-inclusive verses. A preacher of the past said of the 14th verse that this is one of those verses that is just like the Bible within the Bible, like John 3:16 or like Revelation 3:20. It includes about every application to every need that every man could have. And I think he was pretty accurate in his assessment of the scope that is found within these few words. For you see, you can take this verse and you can address the individual Christian with this verse. It is a message that speaks to the individual heart. You can also take this verse and you can address the entire church. You can address the whole congregation. But you could also take this verse and you could apply it to the nation. You could say that America needs to wake up to the things of God. But then you could take this verse and you could apply it to the entire world and say that the entire world needs to have its eyes open to the fact of God and to the Bible and to the reality that that man is one day going to have to stand before the God of heaven. So it's an amazing verse of Scripture. It's broad, and its scope reaches out into every area to every person, and God certainly has a message for each one of us tonight as we look at this verse. Now, let me take a moment and show you something that I think will be helpful to you as you study personally the Word of God, but it's also something, a little principle that I want to lay down tonight that will help us as we go through this verse to see its application. There is a dualism that is always at work between God and man. Now, I'll explain what that is in just a moment, but there is a dualism that is always at work. When you read your Bible, you need to look for that. When you study the Bible, you need to look for that dualism. It is always at work. You say, well, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, I'm saying that when it comes to man having a relationship with God, this dualistic pattern is always at work. For you see, when you read the Word of God and when you understand what God's message is, it is clear that God has a message. That's one half of the dualism. And then there's a second part to it, and that is man's responsibility to do what God says we're supposed to do. Now, God is not going to do His part unless we do our part. So you got that dualism at work. Now let me break it down a little further. For example, in the matter of salvation, there is something that only God could do for us. We could not do what God did for us. We could not do it ourselves. And what God did was God provided for us a Savior. Now it's impossible for man to do that himself. We could not provide our own Savior. We could not save ourselves from sin, so God did His part and God provided for us His Son as our Savior. But then on the flip side of that, when you think of what God did for us, that's amazing, that's wonderful, that's a marvelous truth, but there is something that man has to do in this matter of salvation. You see, while God provided us His Son, it is not automatic that everybody is saved and is going to heaven. God gave us His Son, but then God gave within each and every one of us a free will whereby we choose or we reject the grace of God. So while God has done His part, man has to exercise faith in the provision of God, and man has to call upon the name of the Lord in order to receive salvation. God has a part, and man has a part, and both must do their part in the matter of redemption. This duality is also clearly seen. It's seen throughout the revelation of God, but it's also clearly seen in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Let me remind you that Jesus was man, as though He were only man, and yet He was God as though He were only God. So you have the God-man. There's that dualism showing itself again. And of course, we all understand that this is true, this principle is true of our work and of our service for God. You see, God has to bless. That's what we're depending upon. That's why we pray. That's why when we come to church, we open with a song and get all of our focus and attention upon the things of the Lord. And then I or one of the staff who comes to this pulpit and we pray and we ask the Lord for His blessings upon our service. You see, God has to bless. God has to sanctify our service. The Lord's presence must be with us. But the other part of the equation is the reality that I must offer to God a dedicated life that is willing to work for the Lord. You see, God has chosen to use us, to use people, in order to do His work. He could have used the angels, but He did not choose to use the angels. He chose to use us. And the only way that He is going to use us is for us to be willing to be used. And so both are vital. If anything is going to be done for God, both of us, God and us, have to do our part. Now, in light of the text, I want you to think of this. God must quicken us from the dead, but we also must arise from the dead. God must quicken us, but then we've got to arise. We've got to get up and do something. And that's why Paul said, "Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee life." I read a story last week about a little elementary school girl, and she and her brother, she said, this was in a testimony that was spoken by the little girl who had now grown up, and she gave testimony of how God taught her a very, very valuable lesson through her little first grade brother. And she said, her testimony was that she and her little brother were walking to school one morning, and it was a beautiful spring morning. The sun was out. The birds were chirping. The flowers were blooming. Everything was just looking like summer was just around the corner. And the little boy and the little girl, brother and sister, got more interested in playing than they did getting to school on time. And they rounded the corner, still some way off from the school, and they heard the bell ring announcing that class was starting. And the little girl looked over, remembering her Sunday school lesson from the week before, where the teacher said, "If you need anything from God, just ask Him for it." And so the little girl looked over at her brother, and she grabbed him by the arm, and she said, "Let's kneel down and pray that God will not let us be late for school." And the little brother pulled away and took off running and said, "No, let's not kneel. Let's run as fast as we can, and we can pray while we're running." And she said, "I never forgot that lesson that He taught me. I never forgot it." Folks, as we work for the Lord, our work for the Lord should be in that light. The blessing comes from God, but the effort must come from us. Now, let's make some application of this text and apply it to a few areas tonight. First of all, I want us to understand that we can apply this individually. We need to apply this verse individually. I want you to take this verse for a moment, Christian, and I want you to apply it to your heart. Would you just sit here for a moment and let the Spirit of God apply the truth and the reality and the encouragement and the commandment of this verse? "Arise, thou that sleepest, and awake from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Paul's advice here can be applied to each one of us as individuals. Now, I want to make a statement here, and I want you just to ponder, to think about this statement for just a moment. We are awake to the things that we choose to be awake to. We are awake to those things that we choose to be awake to. I'm telling you, folks, so many of God's people are awake to the world. I mean, if we see the possibility of a prophet, all of a sudden we're wide awake, aren't we? If we see the opportunity to advance ourselves or to make some money or whatever the case may be, how quickly we are ready to turn the night into day. If we are invited to entertainment, if we are invited to dinner, if we are invited to the ball game, we're more than awake. But when God calls us to do something, how many of God's people sit around, eyes half closed, and looking for a place to lay our heads? Folks, make no mistake. We do what we want to do. And the admonition of the Lord, it's not my admonition. I'm just reading to you what God said. God's admonition to every individual in this room tonight is to awake thou that sleepest. You know, it's funny. A person can talk in their sleep. How many of you know somebody that talks in their sleep? Raise your hand. Sure. A person can talk in their sleep. Hey, Do you realize a person can walk in their sleep? How many of you know somebody that walks in their sleep? Yeah, you do, don't you? Let me tell you, my little brother, I don't know if he still does this or not. I haven't asked. Really, it's never crossed my mind to ask. But when my little brother was just a little guy, he would get up and walk around, and you never knew where he was going to go. I mean, he got up one night about 3 o'clock in the morning, turned every light in the house on. I mean, every light in that house, had all the outside lights on, had the basement lights on, had the living room, the kitchen, all the lights in the garage, every light in the house was on. And when he came in lastly and turned my mom and dad's light on, my dad woke up and realized that Mike was walking in his sleep again, and had to put him to bed, and then go around and turn off every light that was in our house. He had turned every one of them on. Now listen, you can talk in your sleep. You can walk in your sleep. But you cannot work in your sleep. Isn't that strange? You can talk, you can walk, but you cannot work in your sleep. I'm telling you, folks, God wants us awake. It's impossible to work while we're sleeping. And if we are going to work, we're going to have to be awake. We must be quickened and awakened in order to work for the Lord. And, you know, I think it's interesting. When the Lord found Moses, Moses was working tending the sheep. When the Lord found Gideon, Gideon was threshing wheat at the threshing floor. When Elijah found Elisha, Elisha was working behind the plow. When Jesus found Matthew, he was working at the customs table. I'm saying, folks, that you cannot work while you are asleep. And this is the exhortation for all of us. Would everybody, please, just everybody, look at verse 14. Now, I want us all together to read this verse. This verse is for all of us. The exhortation is for every one of us. Let's read it together as a church. Are you ready? Here we go. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Folks, would you realize, Christian, that you just got exhorted from the Lord God of heaven himself? As you read this verse, this was God exhorting you and me that we wake up and realize that God has something for us to do. Every one of us who knows the Lord, we have been appointed, we have been chosen, we have been selected, we have been ordained, we have been elected. God has reached down and grabbed a hold of us and said, I saved you because I have something for you to do. But you can't do it if you're sleeping. You just can't do it. There's something for all of us to do. Now, you may not be we may not all be geniuses. We may not all be oozing with talent and ability, but thank God that's not what's required to do something for the Lord. Thank God for the people that the Lord uses. There's a phrase that is often mentioned in the New Testament. Paul was especially fond of this phrase, and the phrase is in God. In God. Boy, there's the key right there. That's the key. You see, the Lord is not looking necessarily for those that are the smartest ones in the room. The Lord is not necessarily looking for those that are the most talented people in the room. The Lord is looking for those people that have a walk that's in God. That's the kind of person God can bless. I'm telling you, I know that to be a fact because of who's standing up here preaching to you tonight. Hey, listen, everything I get, I got to labor and work for it. I don't know a whole lot. I'm not real smart, but I can read and I can pray and I can trust God, and God's the one that blesses. I know that for a fact because the men that are on this platform. Listen, we know each other. We're friends. We pal around together. We talk together. And we know each other's heart. There's no genius on this platform. There are people on this platform that love the Lord, and they go to the Lord and they ask the Lord to bless them, and we could say of their lives, they are in God. That's what gives the blessing, folks. That's where the blessings come. Now, the phrase in God. Now, I did not realize this, but the Greek word is the word en theos, and it's one word. En theos. E-N theos. God. In God. In God. And the Greeks took that word and they built another word upon it. They called it enthusiazo. And enthusiazo is the Greek word that means inspired by God. And the interesting thing is that the English language has a derivative of the word enthusiazo, and it is our English word enthusiasm. Now, folks, listen, I may not be a genius, and I may not be very talented, and I may not have a whole lot going for me, but what I do have going for me is the Lord, and that's what it means to be quickened by the Lord. You get an enthusiazo, you get an enthusiasm to do something for God, and God puts His hand on it and blesses it. And that's where we all need to be, in God. And so the admonition is, it's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. I what I do for the Lord can be quickened by the Lord. I can do it with inspiration. I can do it with zeal. I can do it with a dedicated heart. I can do it with God's hand upon it. And when that happens, my friend, that is when you start seeing the fruit in the Christian life. But here's the thought. The bottom line is that we do what we want to do. And folks, we do. We do. I read here recently that where somebody said that in the average church, now, again, this is not your average church. Thank God, I don't know why it's so hard for West Virginians to say statistics, but it's so hard to say statistics. But the stats are that 5% of the people do the work in the average church. 5%. When I read that, I just stopped. I said, well, thank God, Church of the Open Door is not your average church. But folks, there's so much more that we could get done. There's so much more that could be done. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know what I can do. I tell you what I would do if I were you. First of all, I would make myself available to God. The first thing I would do is I would say, Lord, I'm just going to trust You. I'm going to yield myself and let You use me. The second thing I would do after I yielded myself to the Lord is I would come to either myself or one of these men on the platform, and I would say to them, do you have any ideas about how I could be used of the Lord? I promise you they will find something for you to do. I promise you that. And folks, as we wake up to the fact that God wants us to do something, and when we wake up to the fact that right now we are doing what we choose to do, and if what we're choosing to do is not serving the Lord, then I think things would be a little bit different. Oh, how we need to wake up. If we want to go to church, we go. If we want to sing in the choir, we sing. If we want to go soul winning, we go soul winning. We do what we want to do. And it is to that end, Paul addresses the church at Ephesus and says, hey, Christian, wake up. You're letting your life pass and you're missing the purpose for life. The chief end of man is to serve the Lord God with enthusiazo, with that enthusiasm. You're to serve in God. And as we are, God will bless it. There's a second way to look at this verse. Second, we need to awake as a church. We need to awake as a church. Oh, how the church of Jesus Christ today needs to wake up. The church today all over our nation is asleep, while political liberals and religious liberals are lying and scheming and deceiving America. We've fallen asleep, and we don't even realize what's going on. My friend, the overwhelming majority of America is conservative in its political ideas, and yet while we sleep, liberalism is deceiving its way into every fabric of our society. And to that end, I say the church needs to wake up. Let me tell you something, Christian. You had better go to the polls and vote on the 7th. Now, that's just all there is to it. If you don't, you can just about kiss America goodbye. You just might as well pucker up and give her a smooch. If the liberals take over, we are in serious trouble. If you want your taxes raised, then stay home. Just stay home if you want your taxes to raise. My personal opinion is we pay them too much now. But I may be wrong. Maybe you want to pay more. If you want to pay more, then stay home. Just don't go vote. Just stay home. I mean, if you want liberal judges on the courts, then stay home. If you want gay marriage, then stay home. Just stay home if that's what you want. But folks, I don't think that's what you want. I know that's not what I want. And I'll guarantee, told you, I'm going to be standing over there in line with a smile on my face, ready to do my civic duty and turn in my vote for the cause of decency and morality and civility in this country. I don't want Nancy Pelosi running the Senate or the House. And I don't want Harry Reid running the Senate. And I'm going to do my part. Now, you listen, I don't care where it is. You turn on the news, you turn on the radio, you read your newspaper. There's an article in an editorial in the Carroll County Times this morning. And they're saying, these Christians and getting involved in the political process. And I think I'm going to write one that says, you liberals getting involved in the political process. What is wrong with you? Folks, listen, it has nothing to do with me being a Christian. It has everything to do with me being an American. I have just as much a right to vote as any liberal has a right to vote. So wake up, church. You say, I don't like what Bush is doing here. Well, all right, then stay home. Stay home. Put Nancy Pelosi in the House. Go ahead. You'll rue the day that you let those liberal Democrats take over the Congress of the United States. You'll rue the day. All right? So what are you going to do? You're going to go vote. That's right. You're going to wake up and go vote. There you go. All right. Now, that's all my political spiel right there. I'm done with that. All right? Now, let's bring it back to us. Let's bring it back to the church. I'd rather preach on this aspect of it anyway. When we come to church, folks, we need to wake up. Let me tell you something. We need to wake up. We don't have long. Along this same line of thinking, if you don't want to see revival, then just stay home. Don't worry about church. Don't worry about church. If you don't want to see revival, then just go ahead and sleep. If we don't want to see our children and our family members saved and serving God, then just stay asleep. Just go ahead and sleep. If we don't want to see our country turn back to God, then just get comfortable and sleep on, if that's the way we feel. But you see, folks, if we would just wake up, we could see revival in our church. If we would just, if we were awake and quickened, I believe that we would see revival in our day. Pastor Stainer and I were talking this week about some things, and I said, hey, where's so-and-so been? And he said, I think they're here. I think they're there. They went here. They went there. I said, so they didn't get mad and quit. Oh, no, I don't think so. They just haven't been here for a month. I said, well, now stop thinking about where's so-and-so. Well, I think they're, and they haven't quit, have they? No, they haven't quit. They just hadn't been here for 3 weeks. You know, some folks he knew about, some folks I knew about, but you know what it comes down to is that we simply do what we choose to do. We wake up to do the things that we want to do, and we end up putting other things before the Lord. Work, play, you name it, we do what we want to do. Folks, it's that plain and it's that simple. And it's to this, the Holy Spirit says to the Apostle Paul, hey church, wake up. Wake up. I was reading the other day for my devotions where Moses led 3 million people out of Egypt. And you remember, they got to the Red Sea. And when they got to the Red Sea, that pillar of cloud was leading them, and they got right to the Red Sea, and it stopped. And now they're stuck. What are they going to do? Folks, he's got 3 million people. Would you think about that? Would you just stop and think about how many people that is? And there he is, standing by the water's edge, and he watches, and that cloud goes up, and it goes over top of them, all the way to the back of the camp, and comes down as a pillar of fire. It was darkness to the Egyptians that were ready to pounce upon them. It was light to the children of Israel. And then Moses is standing there, and he says, okay, Lord, what are we going to do now? And God said, Moses, take your staff and hit the water. Now, let me ask you, how in the world do you communicate to 3 million people that it's time to wake up and cross that Red Sea? How do you get that message? Folks, had Moses stood up and said, hey, folks, his voice would have got about as far as from here to Baker Auditorium. They're outside. He has no public address system. How are you going to get that message all the way back through the ranks? Well, according to what the rabbis have said, what they did was they sent runners out. They sent runners out. And they told the people as they ran through the camp from the Red Sea all the way back to the pillar of fire, they sent word and said, wake up, people. God said it's time to move. And that's how they knew. They heard the message that it was time to move. Now, let's just, what if this happened in 2006? Do you know what you would hear? Move? Now? We just stopped. I am so tired. I need my medication. Move? Now? Where's that counseling center? I've just got to talk to somebody. I don't think I can go on another day without some therapy. Move now? You want me to move now? Why, look at that Red Sea out there. And the fish are running. Man, the boys and I, we got plans for in the morning. We're going fishing in the morning. We can't move now. The fish are running. Can't go now. No, I can hear that runner saying, well, I don't know about the fish running, but I do know that God says move. Someone else would say, wait a minute, we're not feeling good tonight. God, I can hear the runner say, God didn't say anything about anybody being sick. God said move. I can hear somebody else say, but wait a minute, look through that cloud. You see all those Egyptian soldiers? Well, those dudes are going to be hungry tomorrow. My family and I are setting up grills. We're going to make some hot dogs and hamburgers. I haven't really chosen sides on this thing. I'm not on the Egyptian side. I'm not on Israel's side. Here's a good opportunity to make a few bucks. You can't want me to move now. Folks, do you not see? You do what you choose to do. You do what you want to do. And folks, I could go on, and you know it, but we don't have time for me to do that. I'd like to, but I can tell you that the Lord is saying to the church, hey, church, wake up! Wake up! It's time to do something for the Lord. It's time to move for the Lord. Some of you folks need to join the church tonight. Amen. Some of you folks have been saved, but you haven't been baptized yet. You need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. I mean, some of you folks, God's been dealing with you about tithing. You need to start tithing. Some of you folks, the Lord's been dealing with you about coming back to church on Wednesday night. Amen. Come back to church on Wednesday night. It's time to move. But we got to be awake to do that. Then thirdly, I said this passage can be applied to the individual. I said this passage can be applied to the church. But here's your dual impact, folks. Thirdly, this passage of Scripture can be applied to the lost. If you're here tonight and unsaved, hey, listen, my friend, it's time to wake up. I mean, my goodness, I wish you'd seen that lady's face. I don't know why I said what I did. You know, some halftime I wonder, why'd you say that? But anyway, I looked at her and she said, so you're that preacher that's staying here. I mean, my Bible's laying there. I got, you know, a laptop and I'm feverishly working. She'd passed by that window a half a dozen times, looked in, see what I was doing. And she knocks on the door. Do you need anything? I said, no, don't need a thing. She said, well, let me just get you some towels. And before I could say, no, I don't need anything, she's out there in the cart grabbing towels, comes walking in. She was probably in her mid-60s. And she said, so you're that preacher, huh? And I said, yeah, I'm the preacher. And I said, do you go to church anywhere? She said, no, I'm usually working on Sundays. I haven't been to church in years. I said, well, you know, you're not getting any younger. And I said it like that, and she just stopped, and she looked at me, and she saw why I was joking. I was smiling, and she said, well, you're right on that. And I said, well, let me show you something. Folks, listen, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, it's time to wake up. My goodness, what if that lady had said, I don't have time, just went her way. Who knows if she'd have had another chance? Who knows if somebody would have eventually walked up to her and asked her, if she knew where she'd spend eternity when she died. I've told you folks this before. I've been saved for 35 years, and there's only been one time that anybody has ever witnessed to me in that 35 years that I've been saved. Only once. Only once. We were coming back from down home and coming out 64, and Karen said, you better stop and get some gas. And I said, I'm going to get it in Virginia. It's cheaper. Never made it to Virginia. Come around a corner, just past that gas, and just past that exit about a mile. We'll come around that corner, patoom, 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 patoom. Thing died. She looks over at me and says, I ain't walking. So down the road I start, trying to go to the exit to get gas. Trucker pulls over. I get up in his cab where he said, you run out of gas, that's your vehicle back there? I said, yeah. I said, man, I feel so dumb. And he said, well, it happens to everybody. Don't worry about it. And I thought, well, that was awful nice of him to say. And then he starts squirming and fidgeting. I thought, oh, dear. Well, this guy's going to hijack me now, and he's going to hold my family hostage. What have I done? Scare me to death. And then he got to fidgeting around, finally looked over, and he said, sir, I'd like to, I'd like to ask, oh, boy, like to, I said, you going to ask me if I'm saved? Yeah, if you were to die today, do you know where you'd go to spend eternity? I said, yeah, I'd go to heaven. Really? I said, yeah, how do you know that? And I said, because I've received Christ as my personal Savior. He said, that's the right answer. I said, yeah, I know. One time in 35 years. Hey, if you don't win your family, who's going to win them? It's time to wake up. My friend, if you're here today and you're not saved, I mean, listen, you're here tonight. You're going to get the opportunity tonight to be saved. Who knows when you'll have another opportunity? It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. You may not make it to 65 or 70 years and then somebody that run into you and ask you that question and you say, oh, yeah, you know, I'm getting up there. Now, today's the day of salvation, my friend. It's what God says. Church needs to wake up. The individual needs to wake up. But wait a minute, there's a message to all men here. All unsaved people need to wake up. I mean, there's something to awaken to, and there's something to arise to. There's life, and there is light and salvation that is yours for the asking. And if you're here tonight and you're unsaved, don't you think that it's time that you wake up to your need for the Lord? I read a story the other day in the little town of Gans, Oklahoma. And at 6 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden, the freight train came roaring into town. 6 o'clock in the morning. Those people were used to the freight train coming through town, but not like it came through this day. It was a Saturday morning. Nobody was out. Nobody was moving. And 6 a.m., that freight train came flying into town. That old engineer laying on that whistle, and they thought it roused everybody. They weren't used to that. They weren't used to that. And all of a sudden that whistle just kept blowing and kept blowing, and everybody got out of bed. Everybody went over to the window and pulled open to see what the matter, what the problem was. And all of a sudden when they looked out, they saw the sky as black as coal. And someone began to fire another siren. Man that was asleep in the fire station. And he heard that fire truck and heard that train and jumped out and looked out the window, and he could see over the town, over the way, he could see a tornado coming right towards the town. And that fire whistle was able to get everybody up. And the newspaper later said that the town had been spared and hundreds of lives had been saved because they heard the whistle. And they responded. They got up. Had they stayed in bed when that thing hit, who knows how many of hundreds of people would have been killed. Folks, I want to serve notice on you. I want you to understand the sounds of eternity are rushing upon us. They're coming quicker and faster than any of us realize. Wake up. It's time to wake up. There's something to wake up to. The Christian needs to wake up. The church needs to wake up. But let me tell you something, my friend. The whole of mankind needs to wake up. Do you not realize that God is about ready to step out and intervene once again in the affairs of man? Do you not realize that God, He's been using His church. He's been using His men. He's been using those that are dedicated and are awake. And thank God souls have been saved. But God is just about ready to step out and say, okay, let me get your attention. You won't listen to my men. You won't listen to my word. You won't listen to my spirit. God is about ready to step out and grab this old earth and just give it a good shake. My friend, you better realize there's a message here for you. The gift of salvation is available now. I sat the other night and I got home and I watched the National League playoffs. The Mets were playing St. Louis and St. Louis won. It was the last game. The last game, the Cardinals won and ended up going to the World Series. And I watched that ball game, the last couple of innings of it. They were playing in New York. And there were the thousands of people, throngs of people. And, you know, in baseball, that's like watching grass grow, you know. It takes forever, especially these playoff games and these World Series games. It takes forever to play the games. And so I'm sitting there watching it. And they're shuffling pitchers in and out, and they're doing every strategy they can use. And so the announcers are just talking, and they're yakking. You just want to say, hush, you know. But they got to say something. I know you can't have dead air space. But anyway, they start panning the camera around, and they're showing the throngs of people. And it's like, you know, the bottom of the ninth inning, and you know, there's three men on, there's two outs, there's three balls and two strikes, and the best hitter's up for the Mets, you know, and I mean, it's down to the wire, and then all of a sudden, pitching change, and so they pan the camera around, and here are all these Mets fans, thousands of them, and they're all standing there, praying for the Mets. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, there is your eternal soul hanging on the precipice of eternity. And you're praying that the Mets will win? Won't you wake up? Good night, that's a ball game. Nobody going to remember next year what the score was, or even who, half of the country won't even remember who won. But folks, we're asleep to the things of God. And I'm here tonight to tell you that we need to wake up to God. Eternity is looming. God is ready to act. God is about to step out on the scene and stop this old world dead in its tracks. But we're still sounding the warning. Thank the good Lord. We still got some time to sound the warning. There's still time to wake up. My friend, listen to me. You don't have to go to hell and spend eternity in hell. You hear me? You don't have to do that. You can still wake up and accept Christ as your Savior. So how about it tonight? How about it? Why not wake up and fulfill the purpose for which God has given you life? Wake up and serve the Lord while there's still time to serve Him. Remember, the Lord said that now is the time to work. For the day comes when no man can work. And folks, I'm afraid that day is closer than any of us realize. Let me remind you, unsaved friend, that God said that today is the day of salvation. He said, behold, now is the accepted time. You know, there's going to come a day when you will want to be saved, and you might not be able to. Can you imagine when the Lord comes back and the church is gone? Hey, my friend, listen to me. What if the Lord came back tonight, right now, and all of a sudden, all of us disappeared? And you here in your unsafe condition, you look around, you say, well, what in the world? Oh, no. What? You mean it's true? Yeah, it's true. Tomorrow the headlines read, millions missing. The Baltimore Sun says, aliens probably responsible. But down at the bottom of the page, there's a little story that says, some folks are saying that this was the rapture of the church, prophesied in the New Testament. And you will come. You will come back Wednesday night. And you'll walk in here. The lights will still be on, but there won't be anybody here. Wake up. That could happen tonight. It's time to wake up. Let's pray together. Well, our Father, we're so grateful for the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that it's brought comfort to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that it's brought encouragement to our hearts. But Lord, also pray that it's brought application to our hearts. Lord, may it move us to take that step that we so desperately need to take. Lord, would you just reach down here and shake us from our sleep tonight? Lord, would you just reach down here and poke on the shoulder of some unsaved person and tell them, wake up? Lord, would you speak to somebody's heart that's been saved but they haven't been baptized? Just shake them and say, all right, wake up, time to get baptized. Lord, speak to that person that needs to join the church tonight and just give them a little nudge and say, okay, it's time to wake up. Lord, for those folks that they're just not doing what they ought to do, Lord, they're choosing to do other things. And Lord, they're asleep to the things of the Lord. Lord, would you just reach down and give them a little shove and say, hey, it's time to get up. Lord, do your work in our hearts tonight. How we pray for the Spirit of God to shake us and to move us and to stir us tonight. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Now, my friend, listen, in just a few moments, we're going to stand together and we're going to sing an invitation hymn. And as we sing this hymn of invitation tonight, that's exactly what it is. I'm inviting you to make a decision for the Lord. You know, in God, in Theos. And I'm asking you tonight, those of you that are saved, won't you just reconsecrate yourself? Say, Lord, it's time I got awake. And it's time I started serving. For those of you that are here tonight that aren't saved, I'm asking you tonight, would you let the Spirit of God tug at your heart tonight? Oh, my goodness, it's time to wake up. You don't know how many more opportunities you're going to have. And dear friend, you may not have any more. This may be your last one. Oh, that you would hear the Lord calling you tonight. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want you to stand to your feet with me, please. Everyone standing, and let's pray together. Our Father, as we close in prayer, Lord, I don't know really how to pray tonight other than just ask you to have your way in our hearts. And Lord, help us to remember that there's this dualistic principle. Lord, we have your word, but we have to do our part. And Lord, I pray that we will tear down the walls and tear down the fences that are keeping us from doing what we ought to do. And Lord, may we leave our seat. May we come and meet you at this altar of grace. And Lord, I pray if there are unsaved people here tonight, may they run down this aisle and say, "Somebody, show me how to get saved." Lord, I pray for Christians. Stir the hearts of your people. And Lord, do what only you can do. I've done my part. But now, Lord, I'm depending on you to do your part. And I pray that you will do it. But Lord, as we do it, may we as individuals, may we as a church, do what only we can do. And that surrender and submit, yield ourselves to your will. So Lord, bless us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.